Welcome to the Rock Church Podcast. This is Amanda. We're so glad you're joining us today. We are a church family that exists to love God, love people, and do something about it. If you would like to learn more about us, you can visit us at rockc3.com or head over to your app store and search RockC3 for our app. This is the fourth week of our series called Island Life, and this week, Pastor Josh explains that you are commanded to love. So you should be committed to love in order for others to connect to love. Enjoy the message.
Well, aloha to you as well. Aloha to you as well. Guys, oh, it's so good to be back. I love the fact had a great vacation, but it's just good to be back in the building, back with you guys, doing church. So I'm excited to be able to communicate with y'all today. Let me give a shout out to anybody who's watching online. I know we've got people doing that. Would y'all do me a favor and just welcome everybody who is online with us as well. And man, if you're new with us, whether you're online or on campus, I'd love for you to text the word connect to the number that you're just seeing scroll across the bottom of the screen. If you're on campus, you can do that as well. Or better yet, if you're on campus, stop by the Connect Corner. We've got a gift there that we'd love to give you and just connect with you a little bit that way, all right? Now, as Clay said, I did take off. Island life happened, and I'm like, I'm out of here now. And my wife and I, we went away on a little trip, basically spent the majority of our time down in Florida, where I had my toes in the water and my butt in the sand. All right? Some of you know that Zac Brown song, but that's pretty much all I did, all right? And it was a great time. I really didn't have a whole lot of responsibilities. I wasn't worried about things back here. I wasn't worried about my kids because I left them at home and said, good luck, God bless, I'll see you in 2 weeks. You know what I mean? It was just a time to get away with my wife. And I had one job. I only had one job. My job while I was gone was to love my wife well. If I loved my wife well, it was going to be a good 2 weeks. If I did not love her well, then she was stuck with me, which would have been a bad 2 weeks for me, right? You know what I mean? Because if the wife ain't happy, nobody's happy. So I knew I had one job, love her well over the next couple of weeks. And if I do that, things will be great. And it did make for a great vacation. Now, let me flip that and say the same thing about faith. When it comes to faith, we really only have one responsibility. There's a lot of little things that we can do with our faith, but if you take faith, if you take the faith walk with Jesus, you can boil it all down to how well do you love? Like, if you take everything Jesus said, if you take the Bible, then you can pretty much take the Christian faith and say the requirement of the Christian faith is to love well. If we will love God well and we will love others well, then that leads to a great island life. The way I'd like to say it. So what I really want to challenge you to today is this idea that we are commanded to love, and since we are commanded to love, let's be committed to love so that others will connect to love. Try to memorize that statement. It'll be important. I'll be weaving it through the whole message. We are commanded to love, therefore be committed to love so that others can connect with love. And we're going to see how we're commanded to love by diving into the book of 1 John. Now, if you don't have a faith walk, just let me help you out here for a second. That 1 John is a letter that a guy named John wrote. John was a follower of Christ. He was alive during Jesus' day. And he wrote three letters. He actually wrote four letters and a biography. But three of the letters we call 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John, all right? We call them that just because we're trying to differentiate what those three books are. But this 1 John, we've been walking through this whole series. Like, for instance, in week one of Island Life, we dealt with chapter one, and we talked about living a different life. Week two, we talked about a Christ-like life from chapter two. Week three, we talked about how to live a loved life, how to recognize that you're loved by God from chapter three. Today, we're going to spend time in chapter three and chapter four, and we're going to talk about this idea of live a loving life, that we are required to love, that is the commandment that he has given us. So let's look at it. In 1 John chapter 3, it says this, and this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, let me pause right there for a second, because you might have thought I would say this is his commandment, we got to love. Right? Because I've spent the first 5 minutes of my message saying we are commanded to love. We are commanded to love. Yet at the beginning, I read this verse and here's the commandment. And John says, believe in the name of Jesus. Now, back then, understand, back then, this would have been about 2,000 years ago, when he would have said or he would have wrote in a letter, now this is the commandment, everybody back then would have said, oh, love God. Because they all knew that was the number one commandment. It'd been like, if he was to say this out loud, it'd been like the kid in Sunday school going, oh, I know the answer, it's love God, it's love God. That's the number one commandment. And it was, because you could go all the way back to the beginning of the Bible. There's a book called the Deuteronomy, which is at the, one of the first books of the Bible. And in Deuteronomy, it says that your number one commandment is to love God with all of your heart, all of your soul, all of your strength, and all of your mind. And then Jesus, when he was on earth, he said it as well. Somebody came to him and said, Jesus, what is the number one commandment? And this is how he replied. He said, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is the only Lord. Meaning God is God. God is the Lord. There's only one. And he says this, and you must love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your mind, and all of your strength. That Jesus is saying, the number one commandment that we find in Scripture is to simply love God. That's it. So when John said in 1 John chapter 3, this is the commandment, we must believe in the name of Jesus Christ, people would have been like, whoa, time out. I thought the commandment was to love God. Remember, though, John wrote his letter to people who were confused about who Jesus was. That if you were here last week, Scott spent a lot of time talking about this, and I won't go into it deeply. You can jump on our app or go on our web, and you can see the message from last week. But there was people that really struggled because they're like, well, is Jesus God or is he a man? Is Jesus divine or is he human? And what John is telling us, what all the early church leaders told us, what Jesus told us himself is he said, yes, I am God and I am a man. That I am God in the flesh. That Jesus is God. So when John says that number one commandment is to believe in Jesus, what he is literally saying is love God. Because we have a God and his name is Jesus. Now, I know that might sound confusing. I especially get it if you're new at church or new with trying to have a faith walk with Christ. Like, that can get real confusing going, is he a son? Is he a man? Is he God? I know it can be really confusing. I'd love to talk to you about it further in the lobby. But I want you just to grab a hold of this idea that Jesus is God and our number one responsibility is to love him well. But we have a second responsibility, and that's to love others well. Let me look at this verse again. And this is his commandment. We must believe in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another just as he commanded us. So he commanded us to love God, and he's commanded us to love one another. In verse 11, it says it this way. This is the message you have heard from the beginning. We should love one another. And you could go back to Jesus' words. Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. But then he added, and the second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then look what he says after that. No other commandment is greater than these. He's saying the most important thing you can do is love God and love others. That's what we're commanded to do. We're commanded to love others. That we're commanded to love people. Now, I'm just curious if you'll agree with me or not. And if you do agree with me, just raise your hand. People are difficult to love. Amen? Yeah. Look at it. We're all right. And I know I'm not talking about the people to your right and your left. They're easy to love, right? Right? You know what I mean? You better say yes, okay? But you know what I'm saying, right? But other people are hard to love, right? Like, because people make mistakes. People are messy. People are sinful. People say foolish things. People are hateful. Like, that's just where we're at, you know? And it's almost easier to hate people than it is to love people. I don't want to say it's almost. It is. It's easier to hate people than to love people. And proof of that is, as soon as church is over, just go out on 501. And you'll see all kinds of hate happening out there on that road, right? Because it's easy for us to hate on one another. Or another way to prove it is just jump on social media. You get on social media, you see all kinds of hate, right? Like it's easier to hate than it is to love. And I wish I could pick up my Bible and find that verse that says, Jesus said, hate your enemy. But he doesn't. Like, I can search all through the Bible, and I'm never going to see Jesus say a verse that says, it's okay to hate them. Or you're going to see him say, love your enemy. You're going to see him say, respect one another. You're going to see him say, honor one another. Submit to one another. You're not going to see him say, hate. Yet in our culture, what we do is we hate rather than love. I mean, right now in our culture, we're so committed to hate that we've developed this phrase that we call cancel culture. Some of you recognize that phrase, all right? In my day and age, we just called it boycotting, right? That if we didn't like somebody, if we didn't like what they said or we didn't like what they did, then you would just avoid them, all right? Now in today's phraseology, it's cancel culture. And this idea is, if I don't like you, if I don't like what you're saying, I'm just going to cancel you out. I want you to think about this for a second. Think about it if that's the way Jesus operated towards us. That if Jesus said, because we're enemies, I'll cancel you out. Jesus did the exact opposite of that. The exact opposite. Because see, we are all sinners. We have all fallen short of the glory of God. We have all messed up. We've all made mistakes. And the wages of our sin, the wages of our mistakes is death. Meaning, Scripture says the payment of our sin is death. And we sin and we're enemies of God. Another verse says this way, that we are enemies of God. But I love it because it then says this, yet while we were enemies of God, Christ died for us. There's a cancel culture that I can get behind, and it's the cancel culture of Christ saying, I will cancel out your record of wrongs, and I will cancel out the power of the enemy over your life. Now that's worth getting behind. And that's what it says in Colossians chapter 2. It said, he canceled the record of the charges against us. And he took it away by nailing it to the cross. That he took our sin. While I was an enemy, he took my sin and he nailed it to a cross. That's how much he loves me. When all of us, because we're walking away from God, are being hateful towards Christ, Jesus says, nope, rather than showing hate, I'm going to show love. And he came and he died on the cross. And then in this way, he disarmed the spiritual rulers and authorities. He shamed them publicly by his victory over them on the cross. That he canceled out our sin and canceled out the enemy's ability to work against us. And that is love. That's love. And we need to see how Jesus acts towards us and say, now I need to do that towards others. And I need to love. I don't need to retaliate. I need to love. I don't need to seek revenge. I need to love. I don't need to hate, because I want to be like Jesus. And when we do that, it is actually Jesus working in us. Now, let's admit it. On our own, we can't love people like that. On our own, we can't. On my own, I can't love people like that. But through the power of God, then I can. 1 John 4 says it this way. Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. But love comes from God. Anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God. But anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. Now, I want you to think about this verse for a second. Because here's what John's getting at. He's saying, if you love, it means it's a reflection of God working through you. And if you don't love, then God isn't in you. Catch that hard truth. If we don't live a life of love towards others, then it isn't a reflection of God. So here's what that really means. If I'm loving towards others, there's a good chance that God is inside of me, because he's the only way I can love. But if I'm not loving others, then what does it say about the God who lives in me? It's not the God by the name of Jesus. It's the God by the name of Josh. That makes sense? It's me. And if I try to do it, I'm not going to be very successful. But if I allow the power of God inside of me to love, then I can be successful. Then I can truly love God and others. So we're commanded to love. And if we're commanded to love, well, we then need to be committed to love. We need to live a life of commitment towards this. We need to say, I'm going to be committed to love one another. And how do I do that? Do I just say, well, love God and love people and do something about it? Or do I put it on a big bulletin board out in front of the church and say, love God, love people, do something about it? Do I put it on our website and we say, well, we've said it, and if we say it, that's good enough, right? Like, because if you just say it, like if I just told my wife I loved her all the time, isn't that just enough? No, right? Like, I need to tell her. Absolutely, I need to tell her. But I got to show her. Love is displayed through actions. Again, John brings it up. 1 John 3:18. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Let us show that we love by our actions. Just curious, raise your hand big and tall if you're proud to admit this. Do you remember the band Extreme and the song More Than Words? Any of y'all? Good, good, good. All right, that means you're my age. All right, just doing that for you. Great song, all right? If you don't know the song, Google it on your way home. It's great, all right? Now, the lyrics, some people will debate the context of them. I'm not trying to get into that. But just the idea is right. That love is more than words. That love is actions. So how, through our actions, do we display our love for God and our love for others? Let's just talk about love for God. How do I show God that I love him? Well, just think about what Jesus said earlier. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Show God that I love him with my mind. That use my mind as an action of loving him. That in my mind, if I'm being transformed, in my mind I'm going to show my loving by digging into his word, because I want my mind to be transformed by his word. I want to listen to him. I want to spend time with him. All of us right now are doing that. Everybody here in Conway, everybody online, we're doing that right now because we're engaging in the word of God. But let me say this. If the only time you hear the word of God is on Sundays, then you're missing out. Then I'd say that we need to do a better job of loving God. If I only showed my wife I loved her once a week, it would not be a very good relationship. Every day I want to engage with God. I want to love God with my mind by digging into his word. Now, that can happen in many different ways. It could be you having a connect time where you're opening up his word and you're reading. Maybe it's you listening to the word of God as it's being read to you. Maybe you're hearing somebody teach on it. Maybe you're studying it. There's all different ways you can do it. I'm not trying to give you a certain way, but I'm saying I could love him with my mind by engaging him in his word. I could love God with my heart. And there's a lot of different ways I could say that we could love God with our heart. But let's talk one specific. Let's just talk about in the way that we worship. That I can love God with my heart in the way that I sing, in the way that I connect, in the way that I worship him. That can be loving God. Now, let me take just a little bit of a time out for a second. Let me talk specifically to our online crowd right now, all right? And for those of you here in Conway, you're welcome to listen or you can take a break, whatever you want to do. But for those of you online, let me just talk about this idea of worshiping God with your heart right now. Because I'm thankful that you're online with us. Whatever has put you online, whether you're a guest, whether you've been coming all the time, whatever's put you online, I am thankful. But let me just say, watching online is not the same as going to church on campus. It's just not the same, okay? Now, again, let me say this. Let me be very clear. Some of you need to watch online. You really need to. That maybe you've got a compromised immune system and you're like, I need to stay home. Maybe you're caring for maybe your mom or your dad or maybe a child and you know you need to only watch online and not come into the building. Maybe you work in such a place where you're like, it's best for me just to make sure I'm loving to other people that I'm only going to work and then staying at home because of your job, what you do for a living. All right, there are many reasons why you should watch online. Online is a great tool. It is a great resource, but it was never meant to be the only way that you connect with God. And I can say it from this angle, that last week, you know, I was on vacation and I loved the fact that I could watch online. I love the fact that I was able to listen to Clay teach and listen to Scott teach. I was able to watch worship. But I can just be honest with you. When I was watching online, I was sitting on the beach and I was watching along. I didn't have my hands up in the air. I wasn't praising God like I normally do in my act of worship. I wasn't even singing out loud. Because if I was, I would have ruined everybody else's beach day, right? You know what I mean? But you get it. It's just not the same. When I talk to people who are watching online right now, I'll be like, how are you doing? You're like, man, I'm good. I'm doing well. I'm like, all right, how is church for you? They're like, well, it's good. I'm glad I can connect this way, but it's not the same. And it's not. And the reason it's not the same is because God designed the church to gather together. And whether it's gathering in a large group like this or whether it's gathering with 10 people, the church was designed to gather. The actual Greek word that for the word church in the New Testament, in the Bible, is a word called ekklesia, which means the gathering. The gathering. We are designed to get together. And when we get together, there is something that happens just in a Holy Spirit type way during worship. Amen? You agree with me on that? There's just something that happens. And I can't explain it other than this. It is the bride of Christ coming to meet with the groom. So again, let me talk to those of you watching online. If you need to stay home, then do so. I encourage you to do that and stay connected. But if you're just watching online right now because maybe you've gotten comfortable, maybe you've gotten a little complacent, maybe it's just become the habit, then I want to challenge you. Come to the campus, come to the building, come into the presence so that your heart can just really reach out to God. That's a challenge of how do I love God with all of my heart? And we need to do that for those on campus. We need to do that for those online. But I can go a step further too and say, well, how about loving God with my strength? How do I love God with my strength? Again, that can be in multiple ways. It's when you're going through a crisis, I'm loving him with my strength. When I'm going through persecution, I'm loving him with my strength. But I also love him with my strength when I'm serving him and serving others. And right now, as a church, I will say this. We need people to step up. We need people. We are a church of several thousand people, but because many have to stay at home and watch online, there are still all the same needs happening right now on our campus. We have needs when it comes to greeting, when it comes to tech ministries. We have needs in our kids area. We have needs in our parking lot. We have needs on our lawn care crew. There are needs where you could step up and you can say, I just want to serve the Lord as an act of strength. I want to love him with all of my strength. And that's all those I mentioned were inside the building, but it's also outside of the building. That I'm coming alongside of somebody and I'm loving them well. See, that's the cool thing. When I'm loving God through serving, almost always the way I'm serving him also loves somebody else. Because when I'm serving him by rocking a baby, then what I'm doing is I'm allowing a mom or a dad to come into the auditorium. And when I'm serving him by running a camera, I'm allowing somebody else to hear the message of God. And when I'm serving him by greeting at the door, then I'm loving somebody as they come in. Oftentimes when I serve God, what it's allowing me to do is also serve others and love others well. And that's the beauty. See, Jesus doesn't ask us to go and die on the cross. That was his job. That was his sacrifice of love. And that is real love. Look back at 1 John chapter 3. We know what real love is. I love that. We know what real love is because Jesus gave up his life for us. So we also ought to give up our lives for our brothers and sisters. Not that we have to hang on a cross. Not that we have to go to a tree. No, we can do something else. Look, John tells us this is how you can do it. If someone has enough money to live well and sees a brother or sister in need but shows no compassion, how can God's love be in them? That John says it's just this simple. Just simply show compassion to somebody else. Meaning maybe you see somebody who has a flat tire along the side of the road and you are at a position that you can pull over and help them. Maybe you see your neighbor needs their grass cut. Maybe you see somebody who needs just a bag of groceries or a gift card to Food Lion. Maybe you see somebody that just needs somebody who will just listen to them. And you can say, you know what, I can do that. I can't do what Jesus did, but I can do that. And when we do those things, we not only love them well, we show them who Jesus Christ is. See, when we recognize we're commanded to love and then we're willing to be committed to love, what it does is it helps us to connect others to love. And the greatest act of love you can ever do for anyone is to help them connect to the real love of Jesus Christ. That's it. Let me say that again. The greatest act of love you can ever do for somebody else is connect them to the love of Jesus Christ. But oftentimes we will only connect people to the love of Jesus Christ if we're willing to first love them and show them our love for God. And if I'm willing to show them how God has changed my life and love them, then we're able to connect them to the love of Christ. That's what John says. Last verse I'll read to you. It says, our actions will show that we belong to the truth, meaning we belong to God. So we will be confident when we stand before him. Dear friends, since God loved us that much, we surely ought to love each other. No one has ever seen God, but we love each other. But if we love each other, God lives in us, and his love is brought to full expression in us. Look at that last line again. God lives in us and his love is brought to full expression. Meaning this, that when you love others, they see the full expression of God, which means you get to connect them to love. And that's my challenge to each and every one of us today. That's the challenge. Is to simply realize that we are commanded to love. And if we're commanded to love, then we need to be committed to love. And if we're committed to love, then we can help others connect to love. And we're going to go into a time of response where I want us to really wrestle with this. I want us just to wrestle with it. I don't think we have to wrestle with the idea of being commanded to love much. I think chances are maybe you've kind of caught that. I think the thing we're going to have to wrestle with right now is how committed to love am I? Meaning, how committed am I to loving God? How committed am I to loving others? Am I really doing what God has called me to do? I think it comes back to this idea of loving God with all of your soul. I haven't mentioned that one yet. See, I think if we maybe grab a hold of this idea that I'm committed, that I'm supposed to love him with my mind, I'm supposed to love him with my heart, I'm supposed to love him with my strength, but I also have to love him with my soul. Because when I love God with all of my soul, then what I'm saying is, Jesus, I'm trusting you with my soul. My soul is the thing that is going to last for all of eternity. So if I'm trusting him, if I'm loving him with my soul, then I'm saying, Jesus, I'm giving you my soul. And I'm giving you my soul because I believe in your name. I believe that you are God. And if I believe that you are God and I'm willing to give you my soul, then I'm surrendering it all to you. But here's the thing. We can't say, God, I'm going to love you with my soul, but I'm not going to love you with my mind. I'm not going to love you with my heart. And I'm not going to love you with my strength. It doesn't work that way. I think too many times we think it does. I think too many times we're like, well, I'll just ask Jesus to be my Savior, and that's good enough. No, Jesus says, love me with everything. And if we're going to love God with everything, it means that I love him with my soul and I give him my soul. And when I give him my soul, then I'm also saying, now God, because you have my soul, you also have my head, you also have my heart, you also have my life, you have my strength, you have it all, because I want to love you with everything. And today maybe is a day for us to all wrestle with that. Have I committed to love God with everything? Because I've asked him to take care of my soul. And if I'm willing to do that with God, then the byproduct, the natural part of that, is to also do that for others, to love others. So as a simple act of commitment this morning, during this time of response, I want to challenge you to make a commitment to love God with everything. And to love others. Maybe you want to do that by coming up and taking communion up on the front of the stage. There's communion prepared. It was prepared in a safe way so you can come and you can take it and not worry about anything. There's a prayer corner if you want to go and kneel down. The connect corner, I'll be there. Some others will be there. If you need somebody to pray with, we'd love to pray with you. Maybe today's the day you want to take a step of baptism. We'd love to help you take that step. Maybe you've never said yes to Jesus, and today's the day that you're going to say, Jesus, I'm saying yes. I'm surrendering my soul to you right now. I'm giving it to you. And as I give you my soul, I'm giving you my everything. Today's the day to say yes. Today's the day to say, I'm committed to this. Not just because I'm commanded. I'm committed as an act of love to you, God. And because I'm committed to you, I'm going to love others because I want others to know you as well. I want them to connect to love. So let's do that right now. I want you to do me a favor. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray, and then we're going to spend a few minutes responding. Let's pray together. Jesus, I come before you. And Jesus, I ask right now that you would move in this place in the way that only can happen through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we will not just be individuals who have come to a box, but that this will be a holy place right now, Jesus, where we can truly love you with our hearts and love you with our mind and love you with our strength and love you with our soul. Jesus, I pray that others are getting connected with you, maybe even for the first time in their life. And God, as we leave here, we will leave on a mission to love others so that they will connect with you as well. Help us to respond to the things we've discovered today, Jesus. In your name, amen.
Thank you so much for joining us today. If you would like to learn more about how to give to God through The Rock, you can find that information on our app or on our website. Another way that you can give to us is simply by subscribing to this podcast, rating it, telling your friends about it. All those things are super helpful. We hope you have a great week.